Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 16. King Chitraketu meets the Lord. Text number 46 and 47. Viditam ananta samastam tava jagad atmano janar iha charitam vigyapyam paramaguro kiyad eva satvitur jai shri shri radha gopinath ki jai. Eva kadyotai viritam ananta samastam tava jagat atmano janar iha charitam vigyapyam paramam guru kiyad eva savitur eva kadyotai. Viditam, well known. Ananta, all unlimited. Samastam, everything. Tava, to you. Jagada Atmanaha, who the Supersoul of all living entities. Janai, by the mass of people or all living entities. Iha, within this material world, acharitam, performed, vigyaptyam, to be informed, paramaguru, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Master, kiyat, how much, eva, certainly, savitu, to the Son, eva, like, kadyotai, by the fireflies. O unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead, whatever a living entity does in this material world is well known to you because you are the Supersoul. In the presence of the sun, there is nothing to be revealed by the light of a glowworm. Similarly, because you know everything in your presence, there is nothing for me to make known. Text number 47. Namastubhyam bhagavate sakala jagat stiti layodaye shaya dorva dorava sitatma gataye kuyoginam vida paramahangsaya paramahangsaya. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, you are the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of this cosmic manifestation. For persons who are too materialistic and who always see separateness, do not have eyes with which to see you. They cannot understand your real position, and therefore they conclude that the cosmic manifestation is independent of your opulence. My Lord, you are the Supreme Pure, and you are full in all opulences. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. Atheistic men think that the cosmic manifestation has come about by chance, by a combination of matter without reference to God. Materialistic so-called chemists and atheistic philosophers are always trying to avoid even the name of God in relation to the cosmic manifestation. For them, God's creation is impossible to understand because they are too materialistic. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Paramahamsa, or the Supreme Pure, whereas those who are sinful, being very much attached to material sense enjoyment, and therefore engaging in material activities, like asses, are the lowest of men. All their so-called scientific knowledge is null and void because of their atheistic temperament. Thus, they cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Read this again. My dear Lord, you are the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of this cosmic manifestation. But persons who are too materialistic and always see separateness do not have the eyes with which to see you. They cannot understand your real position, and therefore they conclude that the cosmic manifestation is independent of your opulence. My Lord, you are the Supreme Pure, and you are full in all six opulences. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Namo Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tiramane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvisesa Shunyavadi Pasketya De Sitarane. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes or analyzes many different classes of people according to their consciousness. For instance, Krishna says, Chatura vidha vajante mam jana sukritina arjuna arte jignasa artarti jnani cha varatarshava, that there are four kinds of pious people who approach Krishna. So pious means those who follow scripture. Tasmat shastram pramanam te karya karya vyavyastito yatva shastram vinanoktam karma kartu miharasi. That one has to follow scripture if he's going to be pious. If he doesn't follow scripture, if he doesn't follow the laws of God, then he has to become impious. So Krishna says, those who are distressed, those who are in need of money, those who are inquisitive, and those who are searching for knowledge of the absolute truth, they come and they reciprocate with Krishna and gradually try to fulfill their material desires. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's analyzed these different classes of people according to the Vana and Ashram system. He says that those who are Shudras, they're generally in distress, and they approach Krishna in their distress to mitigate their sufferings. Shudra means one who's always crying, always lamenting. And those who are after economic development are the Vaishyas. They come to Krishna, they worship Krishna, Vishnu, Jagavai Vishnu, but they have some desire to succeed economically. And those who are inquisitive are the Kshatriyas, those who take advice from the Brahmins about how to administrate how to gain in this material world. And those who are inquisitive are the Brahmins who study Shastra and learn what is the nature of the absolute truth. But there are other classes of people, which are summarized as imam diskritina muda. They're diskritina. They have kritina. Kritina means merit, but they're diskritina. They're misdirecting their merit towards sinful activities. And Krishna says, imam diskritina muda. So those who are asses, like asses, those who work hard for their bread, think that the real goal in life is work hard. If you work hard, you're a good man. If you make money, you're a good person. And that's the criteria of if you're good or bad. You can make money just like, for instance, very scientifically, you can steal. There are many men, there was one devotee, he told me, kind of a devotee, a couple of years ago in New York, he had just come back from court, and after he got graduated from college, he got a very nice job. He was making $100,000 a year as an accountant. But his employer was the head of one of the biggest companies in the United States, and he had him transfer money periodically, $1 billion at a time, into a Swiss account. So after around $25 billion was transferred after some time, the company went bankrupt. And they arrested the man, who's now in jail for 10 years. He paid so many millions of dollars of bribes to so many people so he could just get a 10-year jail cell. And then afterwards, he has $25 billion in his Swiss bank account. So, he's stealing, but it's not considered so bad because he's doing it in a very sophisticated way. He's using science, his advanced science for his stealing, therefore it's considered more sophisticated. But whether you steal scientifically or you just go out and steal a cucumber someplace, it is stealing, it is the same mentality, the same quality is there. So those who are mudas, they think, let us make money somehow or another, it doesn't matter how we make it, but let us make money, enjoy sense gratification, eat, drink, and be merry. And that is very nice advanced life. Others are the Naradamas. They have some kind of civilization, but it's simply a polished animal civilization. Just like nowadays we can see that all the buildings, they're very proud of building these buildings, that this is civilization. Right? You go to these cities, this is considered more advanced than these savages who live in the jungle. Because after all, the savages who live in the jungle, they have to breathe fresh air. They even sometimes they have to drink, you know, clean water. They're exposed to the sun. They have to get sunlight. And even sometimes they even eat fresh food that wasn't prepared in the last war. World War I, that is. So modern civilization is so advanced because, after all, we have these big, big skyscrapers where they have to support it with so much air conditioning and artificial light, so many different things just to maintain these things. And in it, you're exposed to everything man-made. Of course, they find out afterwards that this artificial light that causes blindness and cancer, the air you breathe causes lung cancer, the noise in it gives a heart attack, the radiation from the computers that are going on, no one knows what it causes. But after all, it's sacred because it's made by man. Therefore, you have to respect it. What an advanced civilization, big, big skyscrapers, 108 stories tall. So this is considered civilization, but actually it's the opposite. It is simply, it is actually savagery, because in order to maintain these civilizations, they have to dig into the earth, get out of this earth, this black substance called oil, and then they fight over it. And what is the mentality? It is simply the same mentality as the dogs or the cats who are fighting in the street. But because they wear some, as Prabhupada used to say, coattails and pants, then they consider themselves more advanced. Of course, nowadays they dress up the dogs with coattails and pants also. But, and then there is the Maya Parita Jnana. And here Prabhupada emphasizes whose knowledge has been stolen by illusion, because they will not accept the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Asatyam apratishtam te jagat ahura nishvaram parashparam sambuddham kemam yat kama haitukam. Now, such persons, they say the world is unreal, it has no foundation, it has no God in control, it is produced of sex desire and has no other cause than lust. And then following such conclusions, and lost to themselves, they create horrible, unbeneficial works which are meant to destroy the world. So this is more or less the result of godless civilization, where the guru, the main teacher, is the atheistic scientist, who is both Maya Prita Jnana and Asuram Ashvityam, Bhava Ashvityam. His Bhava is that of Asura. Ishvaraham aham bhogi saraham balavam sukhi. I am the Lord. We are the Lord. Or I am the Lord of all I survey. Ishvaraham aham bhogi. And we are the enjoyers here. Life is simply meant to exploit as much as possible. This is science.
invent a scientific way of exploiting everything, except for me. I will exploit everyone and everything, and this is science. Because they say, asatyam apratishtam te. They say that this world is not even real. That everything has come from nothing, and nothing is everything. So it makes no sense at all. But this is so-called philosophy. That the essence of everything is nothing, and nothing is really everything. But they themselves, they say everything has come about by chance, but as Prabhupada says, that they don't think, why should I go to school? Maybe by chance I'll get a diploma. But maybe by chance I'll become a PhD. They don't do anything by chance, but they say everything else has come about by chance. They say at the beginning there was hardly anything. And then from this hardly anything, everything came. But they don't know and ask, and if why doesn't everything come from nothing now? Why just at the beginning it happened like that? It is actually completely unscientific because they have no experience of anything coming from nothing. But they just talk and they get very glossy, nice colored magazines, and everyone, all these newspapers repeat all the nonsense they say. And as Goebbels said, if you tell a lie enough times, then people will believe it. So they say everything has come from nothing. They say all of us, we've come from the monkeys that came from nothing. As we said before, just repeat the same thing. So according to their philosophy, just like we all have fathers and mothers, so according to them, if we trace our father and mother back enough, then we'll find out eventually one of them or both of them, one of our great-great-great-great-grandfathers and mothers, they must have been a monkey or something like a monkey. They came from a monkey. And tracing back the monkey's ancestry far enough, we'll find out that his great-great-great-great-grandmother must have been a mouse. And if we keep on tracing everything back, eventually we'll come and find out that the original ancestor was a rock. So according to the scientists, two rocks, they met each other, they fell in love. They eventually produced a mouse, which gave birth to a monkey. And here we are now. So everyone on their family tree can have a monkey swinging on its branches. Few mouse in the tree, and few precious rocks all around. Nice garden. Or nice, everyone's family tree should be really a garden with a zoo in it. But this is all absurd. Anyone with any brains, of course there are very few people with any brains left, but anyone with any brains would see that this is absurd to think like that. It's completely unreasonable, has no basis of experience, has no basis of logic and reasoning. And even when the scientists are pressed about what is the basis, for instance, of evolution, so-called Darwinism, it is completely absurd. First of all, there's no mechanism for evolution. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. They've never found any mechanism that would actually produce evolution. For instance, we can see that from dogs come dogs, from mice come mice, from humans come humans, and there's no instance of anything else coming. And there's no way that they can produce anything else. They used to have these experiments, they used to say, well, it was from some kind of cosmic radiation which produced mutations. But mutations are generally, 99.9% of the time, mutations simply kill off the species. They don't create new ones, they eliminate the ones that already exist. But they took an Aspidophilus fly and they bombarded these poor flies for so much time with radiation. And what did they find? Well, some of them had four eyes, some of them had eight wings, so many different mutations. But eventually, by keep on bombarding them, generation after generation, with radiation, after a while, these flies got sick of being bombarded with radiation, and they simply came back to the original fly again. So, the result of the experiments was that mutation, even if you cause mutation, eventually it just mutates back to the original species that it came from. So they have no mechanism, there's no method by which one species they can conceive of can turn into the next one. They have no instance of that, even in the earth. In the investigation of the earth to, what do they call that? When they examine the earth, geology, well, that's searching for different things in the earth. Paleontology is the study of the different fossil records. I guess the study of the fossil records, they show that simply at one time there were cows, and there are still cows. At one time there are giraffes, there are still giraffes. In other words, there's no change of species, the missing links. And most of their missing links that they found, some of them were invented, and some of them still exist. In other words, there are still, millions of years ago, there were gorillas, and there are still gorillas. Billions of years ago, there were cockroaches, and there are still cockroaches. And if there's evidence, as Satipata Prabhu points out in his book, they have so much evidence of human beings existing hundreds of millions of years ago, but all this evidence is eliminated from their studies because it doesn't fit their philosophy. In other words, although they can't prove anything with their selective evidence, still, if there's any evidence that goes against their selective their theories, they simply select that out of the evidence and eliminate it. So this is not science that's going on in modern society. It's science fiction. It is simply a dream. It is simply someone's speculation. And it goes under the name of science. And if you have enough money and enough influence, then you call it science. And even if one... now they say we've gone to the moon. But actually, if they've gone to the moon, as Srila Prabhupada said, what did they come back with? Simply a bunch of rocks. But how can we believe that they actually went to the moon? One of the devotees in Los Angeles, he used to work on the Apollo project. He was working on a section that used to test this Apollo spacecraft that supposedly landed on the moon. So they did so many tests with these landing craft. And every time they did a test with it, for the blast coming down to see what the effect would be, the spacecraft blew up. So for the last one they got, they didn't test it. They shipped it off to the spacecraft because they knew if they tested it, it would blow up. There'd be nothing to show on television. So they just shipped it off, and that was it. So, according to one of the workers who worked on the project a year before it went off, it supposedly took off, he said that there were so many problems that it would be impossible to ever get this spacecraft off the ground. First of all, they had no rocket that could possibly lift up such a heavy load. The load was more than that of a railroad car. And there was no way that they had any rocket that could possibly do that without blowing up, because they have different types of rockets. And the rockets are very, very powerful. With that much power, they just blow up. So he himself he testified before the Senate, but eventually he found himself unconscious in a car as a railroad train was going by over him. He must have fell asleep right at the railroad crossing. And another general who's on the same, who's in charge of the whole Apollo project, he suddenly got he made the same observations, and he eventually got transferred out of his job someplace else. So, as Sariputta points out in his book, what is the name of that book again? About the cosmology. What's that? That's Vedic astronomy and cosmology. He says that these things generally don't go into so much because those who go into them very deeply, they don't find themselves, they don't generally come out alive. And anyhow, just from the logical point of view, they say that they've gone to the moon, and on the moon there was nothing but dust and rocks. But as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, samo bhutva rasatmikaha. Rasatmikaha means that from the moon rays comes the taste in the vegetables. Anyone can observe that if you grow vegetables inside, they have no taste if they don't get moon rays. But the taste of vegetables come when they're exposed to the moon's rays. So how is it that some dust, being exposed to some dust, that suddenly all the vegetables get taste? How is that possible? Anyone can observe that dust doesn't produce taste. So our practical experience doesn't agree with the so-called scientific or the so-called going to the moon plan. Anyhow, there are many other ways that they've cheated. The scientists, the government has cheated. So this is just one of them. After all, they spent, I forget how many, $50 billion in this going to the moon project. So if they suddenly said to the American public, "Well, we're sorry, it's not possible to do," then they probably would have hung a few government officials someplace. So they, obviously they just staged the whole thing somewhere, and then they came up with some rocks, which are now being worshipped in their space center someplace. People go there and they offer their respects to the rocks. So this is all in the name of scientists. It is simply another method of taking money from people to use for sense enjoyment. Because the real science is how to exploit your senses. How to have as much sex life as possible. And of course they have their theory that sex life, according to modern medicine, sex life doesn't do any harm at all to the body. Doesn't produce any reaction. The only thing that does it, then, they have the whole theory about how disease is produced. It has nothing to do with what you eat. It has nothing to do with how you live. They say like that. Of course, then they go against that sometimes. They say, yes, you shouldn't eat so much red meat. You shouldn't smoke so much cigarettes. But at the same time, more or less in general, they say it doesn't really matter what you eat. The doctors who are educated in the modern, now they call it traditional medicine. Traditional medicine has been around for around 50 years. It was started by one man who was hired by the Ford Foundation and the Carnegie Institute the Rockefellers, they hired this man to go around to investigate how they could make the most amount of money from medicine. Because everyone uses medicine. So they discovered that most people, they simply grow their own herbs and they use those and they get cured. So that's not very good for their making money. So what they decided to do is create synthetic medicine. It began more or less with simply natural medicine, and they just made it, they just synthesized it or made it more concentrated. And then they started to pass laws, because it was the Rockefellers and other groups of people, like the Ford Foundation, who had a huge amount of money. They started to pass laws or influence the legislators that to make it illegal for any other type of medicine. And then they started to give huge grants to the universities to train up doctors in using this synthetic medicine. And therefore, after a while, it only became legal to use these chemical-derived medicines, or even naturally-derived medicines that they do something with in the chemical laboratories. And then the only thing that the doctors who were trained up knew how to do was use this medicine. And then it became known as traditional medicine. So now, if you tell a lie enough times, then people begin to believe it. That's traditional. 70, 80 years maybe at the most, it's been used. And what is the result of using all this medicine? Is that 30% of the people who take it, they have to take other medicine to counteract the effects of the medicine that they took. And if you take enough of the medicine, then you're finished. You just die. But the pocketbooks of the doctors and the pharmaceutical companies is very healthy. That's the only thing that's healthy. As I said one time, my aunt, she went to the hospital. She had a bladder infection. So bladder infection is very easy to cure. It's not so difficult to cure. But they gave her some. And if you take enough of the medicine, then you're finished. You just die. But the pocketbooks of the doctors and the pharmaceutical companies is very healthy. That's the only thing that's healthy. As I said one time, my aunt, she went to the hospital. She had a bladder infection. So, bladder infection is very easy to cure. It's not so difficult to cure. But they gave her some medicine, and the medicine had a reaction, so she had to take other medicine. So that by the time they killed her, some while later from the medicine, she had like five doctors giving her all kinds of different medicines. She died, and the bill, it cost my uncle $1.5 million. Expensive to get killed by doctors. There's cheaper ways of dying. But my uncle is very happy because she died so scientifically. It's a glorious death. Of course, most of the bill was paid by Medicare. Which means that most of the other fools in the country, they paid for it. So this is all in the name of science, and people are very proud. We're so scientific. All these machines, they make so much noise, they cost so much. They're able to do so many wonderful things. But actually, most of them are simply detrimental. Therefore, it says, Shaya Jagata Ohita. On the basis of their atheistic philosophy, they've created these horrible, destructive things, and they think they're advancing. But actually, they're advancing simply and going to hell. Therefore, sattvam nirupa sarvasya shada bhavati bharata. People, they want, when they perform sinful activities, along with the sinful activities, they create a philosophy which goes along with their particular mode of living. That everyone has a philosophy according to what they themselves are doing. And because people are engaged in sinful activities, they need a sinful philosophy. So that sinful philosophy is this atheistic, foolish philosophy which everyone worships, known as scientific knowledge. I remember when I was in college, I was studying psychology. And they taught experimental psychology, clinical psychology. So they were doing experiments on all kinds of ridiculous things, like the effect of marijuana on sex life, paying people to smoke marijuana. So of course they had a lot of volunteers, especially at the university I went to. It was all very scientific. But it was, and just like around that time, the government paid $70,000 to a group of scientists to discover why spiders build webs. You'll never guess what they came up with. $70,000 later. They found out, believe it or not, that spiders build webs to catch flies. But this is science, so you have to respect it. Therefore, we should understand that although it's very big, pompous, big books that they write, very so-called scientific studies, and they come out with these big, thick papers, but it is all completely nonsense. It is all based upon mental speculation, simply mental dreaming, just concocting, and taking that as science, and doing so many studies to prove that actually they were right. But even when the scientists come up, as Sataputta Puru writes in his book, just like on the basis of analyzing the studies made by the astronomers, some other astronomers found out that all this information was completely wrong. That on the basis of this of the astronomy they came up with, using the same calculations that the modern astronomers have observed about what's called quasars and different universes, different patterns of the stars, how they're revolving around each other, they prove mathematically that that Newton's first and second law and Einstein's theory of relativity don't apply on a cosmic level. In other words, they proved that all these big idols and big scientific stars were all wrong, at least when it comes to the universe. So that information is never distributed because people would lose faith. So they talk in a language that no one could understand, including the scientists. And they talk about things that were probably proved wrong years ago, but they keep on talking about it. Just as Sataputta Puru, because he's coming today, if you ask him, have they ever seen the atom? Actually, no one has ever seen an atom because they have no means of seeing the atom. But they draw pictures of these things circulating, or little balls circulating around each other, and they call that an atom. But actually, no one believes amongst the scientists that that's what an atom is. But it looks nice to the public. It looks very attractive. You can make different colored balls, and they can. People can look at the balls and become hypnotized as they fly around each other. But it has nothing to do with what even the scientists believe is reality. Actually, they have no idea what an atom really looks like. And even they get these investigations, but actually they can't really even say whether that's really, just like they hit the atom with something and something comes out. They say, well, that's what's in the atom. But they can't really even say if that's true. Just like, for instance, if you hit a dog, then the dog will start to bark. Wah, wah. But a dog is not just made out of barks. So if you hit an atom with something, that doesn't mean that that's what the atom is made out of, just because you hit it. Anyhow, there's so many things. Sataputta Puru is coming today. But he'll probably say something about these things. But the scientists are simply big cheaters, and because of their philosophy, people think that they can perform simple activities and it's all right. There are no laws of God. Bhave smin kli shamananam. Avidya kama karma vid. Shravana smarana harhati. Queen Kundi was saying, Bhave smin kli shamananam. You've come to free people from miseries. And what are those miseries? Avidya, ignorance, and kama, lust, and karma vid, the reaction for their activities. By the process of shravana smarana arhati, by hearing about you, remembering you, and worshipping you. But the atheistic scientists, they say, well, there is no such thing as avidya. This is their knowledge, that we're all illuminated. that don't worry about lust. This is the purpose of life. Increase it. Don't worry about karma. There's no such thing as reaction. After you die, it's all over. It's zip. There's nothing. So they're preaching their philosophy, and according to this, people are living according to it, engaging in more and more sinful activities, thinking that it's all right. And what we can see is that they become more and more atheistic, thinking that I am this body, that I'm the center of the universe. And the result is you have things like Yugoslavia, where people think everyone else's body is bad, and we're supposed to cleanse it. We just eliminate everything else except for me. I'm ultimately the only thing that exists that's important here. But since everyone else is thinking like that, simply there's more and more reactions. They kill their children. They don't think there's their own children in the womb. Eventually they'll kill the old people because they're useless. Now they kill different races because actually they're not very valuable either. So much sinful activity, all on the basis of this scientific knowledge. This atheistic scientific knowledge is simply encouraging people to act less than animals. And the result is that the whole society is becoming degraded. And the only possibility of counteracting this knowledge is simply to present the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. The Bhaktivedanta Institute is meant to present the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and scientific knowledge. And for the common people, we can just present the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita and expose these rascal so-called scientists who are simply cheating, taking money, and living like animals themselves. They're animals. They're living like animals. Therefore, they have no real consciousness. They have no higher consciousness. So how is it that animals are producing so-called scientific knowledge? It's not scientific knowledge. It's simply mental speculation, cheating, covering over. They're false by false propaganda. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Oh, it's just a few hundred years, the so-called scientific knowledge. They call the Middle Ages the Dark Ages. Of course, it was probably dark. I mean, so-called religionists didn't have that much more knowledge. But they believed things like, for instance, that the sun was going around in orbit and that the earth was stationary. You know, they considered these things barbaric to think like that. Of course, that's what's actually going on, but you know, they considered things like souls. You know, they had so much sentimental understanding of things. Of course, mostly it was sentiment, because they didn't actually have the Vedic knowledge. But now, for the last so many hundreds of years, they've come up with so-called science. And people are impressed because they can do things like create airplanes that fly in the sky. So the birds, they also fly in the sky, so they imitated the birds. That's how it all came from. And now they can also fly in these machines. But what does it actually produce? Simply all kinds of disturbances, generally. The whole atmosphere is polluted by smog. The ozone layer is being depleted. Everyone knows that the whole thing has caused a mess, but it's very scientific. So it's only been a few hundred years. Before that, you know, people may have, in some places, they may have been in ignorance, like in Europe. But in India, the Vedic culture was much more stable before the Muslims invaded and started to preach their philosophy. But more or less the Vedic culture was intact and people were living peaceful, making spiritual advancement, going back to Godhead. And then science came along, so-called science, and now it's made everything a mess. I mean, what can anyone say is actually improved? They say it's improved the duration of life. But how could they say it's improved the duration of life? They say, well, we've cured so many diseases like smallpox, and you don't have chicken pox and some, you know, like that. The measles has gone down. Instead, you have things like cancer and heart disease. What have they? Have people stopped becoming sick? Have people stopped dying? They haven't really changed anything. They've made everything worse. Before, people used to die maybe of old age, or a few people used to. But now they die horrible deaths in agony due to cancer or other much more horrible diseases like AIDS. We get attacked by so many different types of diseases. But now, scientifically, you can die, and they put some tube through every hole in your body. They keep your heart beating by some machine, and your lungs going in and out. And even after you leave, they don't even know it, because everything seems to be going on all right. They charge like $5,000 a day to your family to keep a dead body going. He died 3 years ago, but we didn't know. Here's the bill, $3 million. I mean, who knows? In other words, sometimes they take a little bone this big and they make a dinosaur the size of the room out of it. Sometimes they say, well, there's a dinosaur that lived millions of years ago, and they find it, you know, swimming in the ocean somewhere. That's happened. And there may have been dinosaurs, some kind of animals. They're not really sure what it looks like. Most of it is all the imagination of an artist, what they look like. But, you know, I don't think they've ever really found a full dinosaur, all the bones. They've just found little fragments, and they've created, mostly out of their imagination, what they think it would look like. But even if there are some big reptiles, so what? There are big reptiles in different places. Mostly it's that they don't even know what's going on here now, and they're speculating what's going on millions of years ago. And when they find things that are different, just like Sariputta points out in one of his books that he's writing, he said they found, just like they shot, they exploded, they were doing some mining, so they exploded out of the solid piece of rock this beautiful pottery out of it. And the rock was supposed to be millions of years old. And they had this beautiful pottery that exploded out of it with designs on it. So there's no way anyone could have put it in there. So it's obvious that this pottery came from millions of years ago. But the science, and this is reported in the newspaper, but the scientists will never accept it, that millions of years ago there were human beings on this planet. Because they said there were just some dinosaurs fighting with each other. And so they've created this whole imaginary thing of what was going on. They have nice movies out of it, and the little kids look at it. Wow, that's fantastic. It must have been like that. It's so exciting. And probably, you know, a million years from now, they'll say that there are only dinosaurs on the planet at this time. They say, well, we can't find any buildings. Of course, if you go to Dwarka, as they point out, they have found buildings, which were thousands of years ago, at least at the time of Krishna. But people weren't so fooled back then that they built these buildings, you know, to last forever. They build these skyscrapers. Someone's going to live for 100 years at the most, and they build buildings to last for thousands, you know, hundreds of years. But what's the point in doing that? You're only going to live for hundreds, so why are you building a building that's going to last for hundreds of years? So people weren't so fooled back then. And these buildings don't last either. They keep on tearing them down. Anyhow, the point is that, what was the point? Yeah, it makes it all very interesting and exciting. As if, you know, it was all there, you know, so many big dinosaurs. There was hardly any room for anything else. They were so big on the planet. These dinosaurs were so big, they were the only things around. Mostly it's all just, they may have a little evidence of here and there, but mostly it's just all science fiction. Well, no, it's generally based upon their personal experience, especially these health books. But everyone's not them, so everything what they say may not apply to everyone. You know, they may have followed some diet of eating just brown rice for 3 years. And they got better. You know, but that doesn't mean everyone who follows that diet will also get better. And then they say, some of these new age people, they say that milk is all bad, it's poison. You shouldn't drink it, it'll kill you. And others say you have to drink milk, it's the best thing. So they generally contradict each other. So yeah, it's a fact, we shouldn't listen to all these any of these people, because they have no scientific knowledge based upon scientific knowledge. Vigyan means knowledge coming from scripture. It's all based upon their personal experience, and then they add to that a little speculation to go along with it. But they're imperfect, so how they're going to come up with perfect knowledge? But some of them, they have some knowledge that's more or less mooring in accord with our philosophy. Therefore, generally, it appears to be more acceptable. It's called a wolf in a sheep's clothing. If you're going to attack all the sheep and devour them, and if you're a wolf, you might as well dress up like a sheep. That makes it easier. So because it appears to be somewhat like our philosophy, therefore we surrender to it. It's like a politician, you know, his whole life is simply full of sinful activities, but, you know, you go to him and give him a book, and he says Hare Krishna, you think, oh, he's a saintly person. He's our friend. That's because he said Hare Krishna. Anyhow, we don't want to get into so we don't want to get into so many. I can tell you that privately later. My opinion. Yeah. Yeah, the Christians, there are many Christians who have written books like that. Because ultimately they conclude that everything is created in a few days. They have their own science fiction too. Because they have no scripture that has any philosophy in it, that very deep philosophy. But they expose the other scientists, you know, about the archaeological records and about the lack of, they expose them, but they have nothing to show. In other words, they just negate their knowledge, but they have no positive knowledge to put forward. Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.